We'll take our hymnal and turn to hymn number 137, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Seems like only just a short time ago, everybody was all in a fret and a tizzy over Y2K. That's 20 years ago, 20 years ago now. But we're thankful for the Lord's mercies that have brought us that 20 years and other gifts of His grace and mercy that He has bestowed upon us. That's what they have done, John said. They've been bestowed upon us, given to us of God's grace and our unworthiness. We pray for those that are away and for those that are sick. We ask the Lord's help to each one. We're all sinners in need of His spiritual blessings more than anything, and we thank Him that He's faithful in all that He's promised to give us and help us with in all our situations. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Our Father, tonight we come in the name, at the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. There is none like Him. There is none so fitted and suited to meet both our need as sinners and Your need as God. We praise You and we bless You at the beginning of this year for all the mercies, all the deliverances, all the help, all the food, all the things that You have provided for us, and all the spiritual blessings and help and strength that You've given us over the past year. Lord, we can truly say with the psalmist, had it not been for the Lord, we would have never made it. But it's your strength and your grace that brings us to this threshold of the new year. And we ask, Lord, that you would not leave us or forsake us. We pray that we would know and be much aware of your presence and very thankful for your blessing and provision and protection in the coming year. We ask, Lord, that in all things that are said and done in this assembly, that it might be for the glory and honor of your precious and holy name. We pray that you would strengthen us and that you would enable us in the midst of this wicked generation to uphold your gospel, to exalt your name, to magnify you and give thanks and praise to you in the midst of all that goes on around us and in spite of all that is within us. We pray that you would help us and that you would render us by your grace those that are thankful, those that seek to bear a good witness before this world, those that are earnest contenders for the faith, and those that are truly thankful for all that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that He is all our salvation, that He is all our righteousness. He is our hope and eternal life itself. And we pray in this hour that you might, through your word, comfort our hearts, instruct us, encourage us, rebuke us, that your word might be truly profitable for all things concerning us. We thank you for these that you have gathered by your Spirit tonight. We pray that you would render in Christ's name blessing to their hearts for having been here. We ask that you would glorify yourself, and we thank you and we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Hymn number 412, No Other Plea.
Thank you.
Turn first to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I've entitled this message, The Old Gospel for the New Year. Today is the first day of our calendar year. We call it New Year's Day. And there's something a bit unique about it, a bit special to us, even in this flesh. It seems like it is a kind of unique day. And there are always things that we seem to delight that it signifies. We delight in it and like to come to this day in a way. I think one thing is it's the prospect of some things being past. It's almost like we're glad this year is over. And also the prospect of things being new. We hope for new or better things to happen to us in the coming year. And we resolve, we make what we call New Year's resolutions. And I got to thinking about it this week. I believe Paul may have had the best New Year's resolution. He may have had the best resolution. And that was when he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I resolved. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that is the everlasting gospel. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And being the everlasting gospel, it will be and is ever new. And it's even was pictured on Israel's calendar. Hold your place here. And turn back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. In verse 1 it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, He was about to do something for them. He was about to bring about the exodus or the bringing out, deliverance of this nation. He said, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. But if you'll notice in what follows, he not only gives them a new time or a beginning time, he gives them a feast also. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on to the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. It is the Lord's Passover. So what we see is that the beginning of this year, this new year, as God set it for Israel, it began with the Passover. It was marked not only by this time, but it was also marked by this feast. And what we find is that while this was to precede their literal deliverance from Egypt, it was also a type of the way that all God's people, spiritual Israel, would be delivered. They'd be delivered by blood. They'd be delivered by a lamb. They'd be delivered by God's lamb that would take away sin. And this is the way that we are delivered from our sin. This is the way that we're saved, by the same things represented in this feast, in this Passover, which was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and there you'll find that Paul says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Now, remembering all that this represented and all that it took place here in Egypt, turn back over in the passage that we begin with, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because Paul writes here so much in this chapter, but I want you to think about it in the light of what he says, particularly in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, or in a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I've told you on a number of occasions that Paul's subject in this fifth chapter is not regeneration. He's not talking about being born again. But his subject in this chapter is the subject of reconciliation, and how God, in Christ, He has reconciled us unto Himself. In other words, He has brought us as if it were from one year to another year. He has brought us in Christ into the absolute new. If you notice here, it says, if any man be in Christ. If any man be put by grace in Christ, chosen in Christ, represented in Christ, redeemed in Christ, like all of God's people are said to be in Christ when He died, and in Christ when He was buried, and in Christ when He was raised from the dead. In other words, when Christ died for us as our substitute and as our representative, we are brought through that death, through that burial, through that resurrection, we're brought from one state into another state. Because that's the only way that what follows next could be true. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. That surely hasn't happened to us in regeneration. We can't say that all our old nature, all our faults, all our sinfulness, all our inward wickedness, we can't say that all those old things have passed away. But something has passed away. All those old things in Christ, which were represented by what we were in Adam, all our connections to Him, all our sins before the justice of God, all our position before God as sinners, we're brought from death to life. We've been brought in Him from a state of being condemned in ourselves to a state of being justified through the death and burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of that, the result of that passage, the result of our being identified with Him and represented by Him before God, the result is all things are become new. whenever those Israelites on that time appointed by God, that signified their new year, when they partook of that feast, that Passover lamb, it represented what God in grace would do for His spiritual Israel in their salvation. And it's not a renovation. It's not a refurbishment. It's not a bringing about a change. It's a making of all things new. Now you notice what he says here. He says all things are become new. If we're in Christ, and this is what it says, it does not play particular favorites or distinguish in any other way. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any woman be in Christ, that's the qualification. And it's not a qualification that any of us have anything to do with. If anybody is in Christ, God put them there. And so to every one of God's elect, to every one of His children, to everyone in Christ, He says this, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. We look at ourselves, and if we're honest, we don't see anything new at all. It looks like the old things. It looks like they're all still there. So the only way that any of this can have any comfort to us is when God enables us to believe what He says. And what He says is, if any man be in Christ, the old things are now passed away. They're finished. They're ended. They're dissolved. They are no more. And just like we're brought into a new year, everything in Christ is become new. New. That's an amazing promise. That's an amazing statement. All things are become new in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're new because He says in verse 18, and all things are of God. That's it. Who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. This is something that God did for us, to us, not in us. It's all outside of us. It's not Christ in us. It's us in Christ. He says, old things are passed away and all things are become new. Because God has reconciled us to Himself. God didn't have to be reconciled to us. He never changed. We fell in Adam. We sinned. We alienated ourselves. We went away from God. We made ourselves the enemy of God. And He hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now what's that? It isn't God telling us that we need to act new or do something to be new. Praise God for all He does in us by His restraining regenerating grace. But there's no hope in our, in what we feel. There's no hope in what we do. There's no hope in what we're able to achieve. He says, this is the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Where are our sins? They've been imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in Isaiah, the Lord hath laid on Him all our iniquities. We pass from this state of having sin to not having sin, God imputing all our sins to Christ and Him dying for all our sins. And all things are become new. I got to thinking about it all the time in Scripture, that it says that what we are and what we have in Christ is new. I like new, don't you? You drive an old beat up car for so long and you tell everybody, this is a good car, I wouldn't take nothing for it. But when you get a chance for a new one, it sure is nice. It smells good. Everything in Christ is new. He has made all things new. And I got to thinking about it, not just new, but always new. Regardless of what we do or did yesterday, and I'm not excusing our sin, not in the least bit, but irregardless of what we have done or been guilty of in ourselves, because Christ put all our sins away in His death, every day everything is new. You see, when our sins burden us down, and my sins, like the psalmist said, are gone over my head, my faults, my failures, my sinfulness, like rushes in on me sometimes like a big wave that overwhelms me. I'm just surprised myself. But then faith says this, in Christ everything is new. What God sees of me is new. And it's always new. It's eternally new. In Christ, we've entered a new year, an endless year that stretches into eternity. It's always new. Always new. And that's pictured in all the language of Scripture, in the New Testament especially. Revelation 21 says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are truthful and faithful. In other words, the enthroned Christ that John beheld in that vision in the Revelation, which he was told to write and to confirm with this word that it was spoken by the one who's faithful and true, and therefore they're faithful and true, they're this: "Behold, I make all things new." That's why the Lord's people are new creatures yesterday, and they're new creatures today, and they'll be new creatures tomorrow, and for all eternity. It's because Christ makes all things new. Christ has brought us into a new kingdom. Not like any in this world that fade away, that are defeated, brought down. He's brought us, and in Him we've entered into a new kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And it says that He's made us to drink the new wine of the Spirit. That's always the picture of the Holy Spirit is wine, mostly. Wine that maketh glad the heart. But in Christ, His Spirit is not the spirit of this world. It's not our own spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. And He says it's like new wine. New wine. It says He's clothed us with new cloth. He didn't take the old and the new and sew the new on to the old. Because the new cloth is His righteousness, His robe of righteousness. We didn't have any old cloth. That's all our righteousness are as filthy rags. But He imputed to us and laid on us and charged us with and counted us the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. We have new cloth. And He's given us a new commandment. He didn't give us tablets of stone. He gave us a new commandment, which is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and that we should love one another. That's a new commandment. He's given us, He tells us, to be a new man. He doesn't say a new nature. I've heard that preached on for 40 years. And it dawned on me one day, I've never seen that in the Bible. What is the new man? What is a new man? The new man is the man or woman in Christ. He's made us to be new men in Christ. He's given us this new commandment. He's given us every blessing in what He calls the new covenant. That old covenant was a covenant of do. And this is a covenant that is done, new, ever new. Won't ever have to be added to, can't ever be taken away from, because it always stood in the angel of the covenant or the mediator of the covenant, whose blood is the blood of the everlasting covenant and is always new. It says He's consecrated for us a new and living way into the holiest of holies with God, within the veil. The old way was never reached God. The old way had an earthly priest. It had a animal sacrifice of blood. It had an earthly tabernacle. It had an earthly holy of holies. Not the blood of this lamb. It's a new covenant, a new and living way. And then he's told us also, he says that we're to look according to his promise for new heavens and a new earth. I don't know what all that means. But I know two things about it. Number one, it says, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Which means that the only thing that can be in that is the righteous one and those in him. And the other thing is that it's new. It'll be new. And then it says he's brought us into the new Jerusalem. These people can load up and fly to Israel if they want to and go to Jerusalem and see what they call the holy city and all this kind of stuff. All they'll find is ruins and conflict and certainly not the gospel. He's given us the new Jerusalem, the city of God in his presence. And he's given us a new name. It says it's his new name. This is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. This is the name whereby she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. He's given us his new name. And he says in Isaiah 65, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former, now listen to this, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. The former shall not be remembered. Or even come into our minds. Here we are talking about heaven like it'll be a rehash of earth. The former shall not even be remembered or come into mind. Peter said, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. There's a way that we are to live in this world, and it is by faith. And faith is simply believing what God says. The more I go along, the more I'm sure that it is exactly that. Men talk about faith as if it is a feeling, but genuine faith in what God said is what gives the genuine feeling, which is peace. Which is his promises that all things are and all things will be everlastingly new. New. I thought about this verse in Philippians 3. Look over there, Philippians 3. There's some different things that Paul is saying here in this chapter, in the context of this scripture. But It just impressed me that this is at least part of it. Verse 13. He said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." I haven't laid hold on all that Christ has laid hold on me for. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All of our sins, all of our past, all of our connections with Adam, all of our acts of sin, well, they may be remembered in earth. They may even plague us in our mind. But in Christ, if we're in Christ, they've passed away. And everything is new. That's why we delight in and love the everlasting gospel, the good news of the new in Christ.
Amen.
When Joshua was about to lead those people into the land of Canaan and they were crossing the Jordan, he gave them one special instruction. He said, when you see the priest move, carrying that Ark of the Covenant, when they step down into that water, go across that river, come up on the other side, when they carry that Ark, you follow after that Ark. What is the God? What is the Ark? A type of Christ. A type of the gospel of Christ. So Paul's resolution was pretty much on point. I determined to know nothing among you, to say nothing, to know nothing, to preach nothing, to trust nothing, to have hope in nothing, and you could go right on and right on. But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That blood was sprinkled on the ark. That blood was brushed on that mercy seat. And God said, I meet with you there. So in Christ, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. We're reconciled to God, and all things are become new. I like new things. All things are become new. I didn't say that. I'm not some preacher promising you health and wealth and prosperity in the new year. But I'm telling you this. If you're in Christ, it's new things. Forget those old things. Don't let them fret you. It's all new. And one day the things of this earth won't even be remembered or come into your mind. Bet they do today. Wouldn't it be nice if we could forget some old things and remember what we have in Christ? Forgetting those things, we're pressed forward to what we have in Christ. May God help us to see on the threshold of this new year where everything new is in Christ and Him crucified. New kingdom, new covenant, new name, new Jerusalem, everything is new. And it's always going to be new. Our Father, we pray in this hour that You would bless Your promises to our hearts and enable us to see aright what we have in Christ and where we are in Christ as those reconciled to God in Him by His blood. We thank You for all that You've done for us in the past year. And we embark on the journey of this new year, praying that You would be in Christ like the cloud over us and the pillar of fire. Lead us and direct us. Cause us to follow after Him and the gospel. Cause us to forget those things which are behind. And to fix our mind and heart on the One who loved us and gave Himself for us. And the One in whom all things are new. All newness, we know. All good news is in the old gospel. Bind it to our hearts, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.